You're listening to Agriculture Today.
U.S. grain inspection slowed overall last week, but renewed Chinese interest in American sorghum marked a notable shift in export demand heading into December. Latest USDA report shows mixed volumes across major commodities as global buyers adjust to freight costs, currency swings, and seasonal logistics. Corn led the week at about 55.9 million bushels, down from the prior week, but well ahead of last year's pace. Soy inspections totaling 33.8 million bushels, sharply below the heavy movement seen in November of 2024. We posted 14.1 million bushels, supported by steady Gulf and Pacific Northwest loadings. And sorghum movement reached 1.8 million bushels, and the return of China, listed as an interior source shipment, is the most significant development. That single buyer historically drives large swings in U.S. sorghum demand and basis levels across Kansas and the Texas Panhandle. Regionally, Mississippi River System handled the bulk of soybean and wheat traffic, while Gulf terminals dominated corn loadings. Interior rail-linked elevators continued to support Mexican and Asian buyers. So looking ahead, exporters expect China's reentry to support sorghum bids, even as overall volumes fluctuate week to week. U.S. milk production continues to expand, but producers facing a very different price environment heading into winter. Recent USDA data shows national milk output up 3.6% from August through October, driven by modest gains in cow numbers and slightly stronger production per cow. At the same time, federal order class prices have weakened considerably, creating a tighter margin picture for many farms. Now, October's Class 1 base price fell to $18.04 per hundredweight. It's more than $5 below last year. Class 3 and Class 4 prices also declined by similar margins. Those declines mirror weaker dairy product prices across most categories, suggesting that additional downside pressure may continue into early next year. USDA's latest forecast expects next year's all milk price to average $1.80 per hundredweight lower. Regionally, production gains were broad, most states posting year-over-year increases. Both butterfat and milk solid output continue to rise. It adds to the overall supply. So looking ahead, USDA projects U.S. milk production will increase another 2.4% next year as herd stabilization and efficiency gains continue. And global farm exporters may see only modest trade gains next year, as the WTO's latest goods trade barometer shows ag raw materials lagging other sectors. While overall merchandise trade is still slightly above trend, the ag raw materials index sits at 98. That's below the 100 baseline and weaker than other components. So for producers, slower growth in ag raw materials trade suggests tougher competition for export business and more dependence on domestic demand. It's Agriculture Today.
Attention farmers, Jim and Jody Johnson are retiring and their premium equipment is heading to Purple Waves December 30th Ag Auction. Don't miss their 2024 John Deere ExactEmerge 1775 NT Planter and 2019 John Deere S760 Combine. This retirement auction features well-maintained machinery that's been part of a successful farming operation with equipment located in Osage, Iowa. Everything sells. Absolute no reserve to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com for details. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I tell you what, the last month has just been a whirlwind and a roller coaster ride for cattle markets.
Oklahoma State livestock marketing economist Dr. Darrell Peel taking a look at the roller coaster that has been the cattle markets over the past 6 months.
We've had such a flurry of external factors affecting the markets, a lot of political stuff. That has, the beef industry and beef prices in particular have been under the spotlight as far as, national politics goes. And so we've seen a significant, I'm still going to call it a correction. It's a pretty big correction, admittedly, but it's still a correction in cattle markets, broadly speaking, because the underlying fundamentals haven't changed. And I think that's kind of the important point going forward. Certainly as we get into next year, it will be important is to remember that the cattle market is still fundamentally the same as it was about 6 weeks ago. But boy, you sure wouldn't hardly recognize it now with everything that's happened in the last month. You know, it is a significant correction in these markets. So we've, the initial impact of most of that political stuff, comes into the futures markets. That's where it should go initially, but it does certainly spill over into cash markets. So unfortunately, cattle producers, feeder cattle producers in particular, have really taken some pretty serious hits in their revenue for those that had to market cattle in the last month, just due to these, these sort of external influences on cattle markets. So, and, at this late date, with the holidays upon us and kind of winding down for the year as we get into December, we may well finish out the year still in the midst of all of this. I think it may take into early next year before we get past some of this. But again, I think underneath it all, the market is still fundamentally strong and we're still expecting higher average prices in 2026. We've had a lot of political stuff on tariffs and tariffs and trade, I guess, broadly speaking. It started about a month ago with a random suggestion by the president that we might import more beef from Argentina. And that set off a fury in the industry. And it turns out that Argentina is pretty irrelevant. They represent about 2% of our beef imports. And so even if they doubled, it wouldn't really change things that much. But there were other things behind it from the political motivation. But the point is, it set up a whole series of things after that that all were related to the idea that beef prices are high. That's a politically sensitive area for the federal government. And so the beef industry has been under the microscope ever since then with a whole series of subsequent statements related to tariffs and so on. And the most recent of which is the recognition that, early in the year, Brazil was our biggest source of beef imports. And these imports are important as a source of processing, lean processing beef that we use for our ground beef market. And so with the extra tariffs that had been on Brazil since August, now those have been removed. Some of the 10% tariff, in fact, most of the 10% tariffs across all countries that went on in April have been removed for countries that we import beef from. So there's a lot of turbulence right now trying to sort out the beef impacts. And of course, with the shutdown, we're still trying to get caught up on the trade data anyway. So all of that to say that there's just a lot of uncertainty in this whole situation right now in terms of exactly where we're at. But it's all related to kind of the focus on high beef prices and whether or not we can do anything or anybody at the federal level could do anything to change that for consumers.
Oklahoma State livestock economist Darrell Peel. Agriculture Today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I think the farmers have got it put away. They probably got everything sold they need to cash flow themselves through Christmas holiday.
Guy Allen is director of the IGP Institute at Kansas State.
Country Elevator, I would say most of those guys have their hedges rolled out to May or even July. Again, it's going to be in pretty tight hands, and they're going to have to see a basis move in that to shake that loose. So it should be a better year for the Country Elevator than we've seen for a while, which is good. But it's just wait and see. If we see the export programs continue, particularly on corn, that's where I think we'll see it happen first. We watch the lineup, the export lineup every week on how many ships are presenting themselves to load. We watch the volume of grain in the export pipeline, particularly along the river, and that export program, they need to match up.
Well, we go from marketing grains to the big bad beef packer. The founder is Hiram Egbert.
I grew up all over the world. I was a military brat and never even cared about agriculture until after I graduated with my undergrad at BYU. I started off working at JBS and spent, 13 years there learning the business, understanding the business and understanding how little I knew. And from there, I went to a smaller packing plant in Augusta, Georgia. And there I had the opportunity to help out with the commercial side of the business, everything from cattle procurement to data analytics and sales and a few things in between there. And then I was given the great opportunity to be CEO of Missouri Prime Beef Packers and Next Gen Beef in Missouri, and did that until we sold the business, and really it's been my passion ever since to really understand what's going on in this industry and how we can make it better. And so now I'm doing that again here in Idaho and loving what I do.
Says today, the internet provides all the opportunities to learn.
Oh, especially since COVID, extremely helpful. And I appreciate that everybody's willing to go online and willing to learn. And there's a lot of people out there willing to learn about the industry. And we're kind of here to tell that story.
That story is being told through the newsletter, The Big Bad Beef Packer.
Well, the big bad, thank you for that. The big bad beef packer is something I've been working on for years, ever since COVID started hitting. And specifically, it's a newsletter that I started to put out there. And really, the purpose of this newsletter is to help tell the story from the beef packer standpoint, specifically packing house truths, trends, and the tough questions. And so as of most recently, you'll find some of my articles in Drovers. We're talking about putting the beef packers on trial for things such as collusion, foreign interest into the packing industry and price control. And so trying to lay out the facts and start the conversation from the other side, and trying to really help people understand who we are and that we're all trying to make this thing work in a crazy cattle cycle and a crazy time of the industry.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
The 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show is coming December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center. See nearly 500 exhibitors featuring the latest tractors, technology, and equipment. Attend CEU sessions with agriculture experts, network with fellow producers, and find great deals on seeds, feed, and fencing. Don't miss it. Mark your calendars for the 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
During a recent phone call with Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall took the opportunity to discuss two important issues facing agriculture.
Yes, we had a short discussion on the phone about the importance of transparency and pricing for poultry farmers and how important the recent improvements to the system are to our poultry farmers. We also talked about the need for economic assistance for farmers and ranchers.
Duvall said he had a great conversation with the secretary, who understands the challenges facing U.S. farmers and ranchers.
Secretary Rollins understands the need for economic aid and was interested in other thoughts on the poultry transparency rules. This is all part of ongoing conversation, and we're going to keep in touch with the administration through a variety of channels about these issues.
Duvall said his goal for the conversation was to emphasize the economic conditions that have led to a perfect storm of difficulties.
Farmers are facing negative margins for many of their crops as supply costs remain very high and commodity prices have come crashing down. Economic assistance isn't intended to help farmers make a profit or even to make their balance sheet whole. It's simply meant to help them weather the storm and make it to the next growing season.
A recent market intel report from the American Farm Bureau Federation shows that financial stress is severe and persistent across farm country. John Newton, the Vice President of Public Policy and Economic Analysis for AFBF, said the factors behind the stress are well known.
Input costs have increased dramatically over the last few years, up in some cases 30, 40, 50%. But at the same time, commodity prices have come crashing down. For many crops, they're at historically low levels. Trade has slowed, and the effect is we've had margins that have been at or below break even for many crops and specialty crops for many years in a row, and that's starting to impact farm financial conditions.
Newton said trade losses heighten the challenges in an already difficult economic environment.
As the Chinese backed out of the market, that put further pressure on prices. As farmers were harvesting a crop, many of them didn't have storage and had to sell at harvest time lows. So even though we've got a framework in place and the Chinese are starting to buy product, for a lot of growers, the economic benefits of these frameworks may come too late.
Newton says that while some help was made available in the One Big Beautiful Bill and the American Relief Act, that assistance won't reach farmers until sometime next year.
The department has pledged $12 billion in economic support to help offset trade losses. We hope to see details of that in the next few weeks. But the One Big Beautiful Bill, while it made a historic investment in farm bill risk management programs, those benefits won't materialize on the farm for over a year.
Dairy farmers and school children received some welcome news this week with the passage of the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act.
Finally allows schools participating in the National School Lunch Program to offer flavored and unflavored organic or non-organic whole, reduced-fat, low-fat, and fat-free fluid milk. It really expands the opportunities and products available to children as they consider having dairy on their lunch plate.
It's been proven that whole milk choices are healthy for students.
They contribute to healthy children and healthy outcomes. American Farm Bureau dairy farmer members have been pushing for this for a very, very, very long time. And I think seeing the Senate passage of the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act is going to be welcome news in the dairy world and really across the farm economy.
Newton said there were some key champions shepherding the bill through the Senate, and now it heads to the second legislative chamber.
Without those leaders in the Senate pushing this over the finish line, I don't think we'd be having this conversation today. Well, now it goes right back over to the House, and we've already seen Chairman Thompson pledge to get this over the finish line in the House so they can go to the president's desk. We all know how important whole milk back in schools is going to be.
Chad Smith, Washington.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We're moving into tighter numbers continuously. And again, we haven't really started any heifer retention yet. So we know that the tightest feeder cattle supplies are ahead of us.
Oklahoma State livestock marketing economist, Dr. Darrell Peel.
Finally got caught up on the cattle on feed reports this last month. And so, cattle on feed numbers continue to come down. And more importantly, placements and marketings, the throughput through those feedlots is coming down pretty dramatically going forward. So the, cattle slaughter is reduced, which is all part of that lower beef production. And the upshot of all of that, and it's been a concern for a number of months amongst the producers, is there a possibility that we could actually impact the packing industry in terms of the overall capacity or infrastructure? Tyson made an announcement recently that they were going to close the Lexington, Nebraska plant, which is one of the big mainline plants in the country. And that their Amarillo plant would go from two shifts to one for the foreseeable future. So, that's the first casualty, if you will, of the tighter cattle supplies that we're in. It might not be the last as we go forward, because we're going to be in tight cattle supplies again for 2 to 3 or 4 years going forward. So we have to wait and see.
Can this also affect research?
Well, yeah, reduced numbers. I mean, and obviously it affects everything from, producers directly and overall production in the industry and all of the infrastructure components. We've had the border situation and the reduced cattle supplies, particularly in the Southern Plains, impacting feedlots there. And then it goes as far as looking at, things like the beef checkoff, which depends on, it's directly proportional to cattle numbers in the industry. And so we see reduced support for the activities that our promotion folks do for us.
And we're getting USDA reports again.
We had the 12th consecutive month of year-over-year decreases in cattle on feed inventories. So we're slowly pulling that inventory down. I do think it's going to come down a little bit faster in the coming months. And, one piece that we had missed in the October cattle on feed report that was filled in November was the heifer on feed number. And so, that's kind of our most current look at least the flip side of whether or not we're retaining heifers. And it doesn't look like it yet. The heifer on feed percentage stayed at 38.1%. Heifer slaughter is down for the year, but so is, total cattle slaughter. So when you look at it, it doesn't look like there's any strong indications yet as an industry that we are aggressively retaining heifers going forward. And so, obviously we'll be anticipating late January when we get the actual January 1 inventory numbers. That'll be the direct confirmation of where we're at on cattle inventories and replacement heifer inventories. But the indications are right now that we have not really changed the general situation as far as cattle inventories and where we're at from a herd, rebuilding standpoint. I think we're stabilizing at the low level, but I don't think we're rebuilding yet.
Again, when you have a market that doesn't necessarily trade on fundamentals or technicals, what do you do?
We could see some recovery in these markets as we go forward. But again, holidays are always a bit disruptive. Things kind of wind down at the end of the year. So I don't know what to expect at this point. We may just kind of tread water and sort of try to finish out the year. I do think, again, we'll come out with a different mindset in January, and we often do, where we'll see things that really didn't express themselves in December take on a different look once we get into January. So we have to wait and see. On the other hand, the market's been beat up so bad in late October and November that we might actually recover quite a bit if we get a little bit of a chance here in December.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Attention farmers, Jim and Jody Johnson are retiring and their premium equipment is heading to Purple Wave's December 30th Ag Auction. Don't miss their 2024 John Deere ExactEmerge 1775 NT Planter and 2019 John Deere S760 Combine. This retirement auction features well-maintained machinery that's been part of a successful farming operation with equipment located in Osage, Iowa. Everything sells. Absolute no reserve to the highest bidder. Visit PurpleWave.com for details. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I'm Brent Kemp. I'm AgGateway's president and CEO. And what that really means I do is I make sure our members have a great experience as AgGateway members through participation in working groups or like we're doing here this week in Clearwater, Florida at our annual meeting and conference.
Chuck Zimmerman reports from the recent AgGateway annual meeting.
Tell me a little bit about the new five-year plan that you guys have put in place.
Our key watchwords, if you will, for the coming 5 years are implement, impact, and advocate. One of the things that we learned from our previous five-year plan, which was focused on create, engage, and grow, was that we had a very well-defined, very well-structured, but very stringent idea of what that plan was going to be. And as we looked at the next 5 years, 2026 to 2030, we really wanted to make our planning more flexible, more agile, more responsive to the needs of members and the market. And we focus on these three areas. Implementation has always been key to the work that gets done in AgGateway. Our members find value and achieve business value when they implement the standards and resources that they cooperatively develop here. And then they can show the impact of what that implementation has done for their businesses, for their customers, for their trading partners, and ultimately translating that back to value in the form of time savings, revenue opportunities, new business opportunities. Both implementation and the impact that they can show allows our member companies to advocate for further work, further implementation within their trading communities, and especially at our C-suite, advocating with their peers to be part of the work that we do here. So,
is there more of a focus on education than there has been?
At this conference, I think that's true. Overall, the plan definitely supports education, but this conference, we've really tried to focus on professional development and education, especially what we heard from the members was take a deep dive into artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Well, just coming to a close here at this conference, but plans for the future?
Oh, absolutely. This has been a great conference for us. We'll be together again at our mid-year meeting in Altoona, Iowa next June, and we'll be back in Nashville in November. So we're going to continue the conversation, and we're not going to wait until those face-to-face meetings. We're going to have our virtual meeting meetups. One of the great things that was new this year was what we affectionately called the Beer and Bull Session. It followed on from the panel discussion on AI, but all of the participants in the conference got together over six different tables and just talked. It was, as Jeremy Wilson said, it was the first time he had seen all of our participants having the hallway conversations in the room. And we're going to take the feedback that we got from there, the ideas, the pain points, the challenges, and the opportunities, compile that and turn that into our work plan for the next 12 to 18 months. I'm really excited to see what comes out of the reports, and I look forward to work in continued in AI and supply chain messaging and helping our members navigate the changes in technology. And again, this is all driven by the members, so being able to be here in person, getting that feedback has been invaluable for AgGateway.
All right, well, thank you very much, Brent, for visiting here a little bit as we're coming to the close of the AgGateway Annual Conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.